Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Yankee Stadium.
There's a drive hit for deep right field. That ball is going. Going, it is gone. Deep right field. Holy cow, I don't believe it.
That ball is high. It is far. It is gone.
Yo, what up, Yankee fans? Welcome to the Bullpen Betty Show. It's been two whole weeks, but we're back and ready to party. Because Olivia and Kelly are getting married. Set sail with us as we recap the past 2 weeks in Yankee baseball. We'll give you our thoughts on who's been picked as the face of baseball and tell you what it's going to take for the Bombers to make the playoffs. So come aboard the good ship OK. Because she's Betty, I'm Gigo, and this is episode 9 of the Bullpen Betty Show.
Everybody, welcome back to the Bullpen Betty Show. It's been a couple of weeks, but yours truly, Bullpen Betty, has returned. And I'm here with Gigo. Hello,
hey,
Gigo.
Betty.
How are
been
you?
Been a while, hasn't it?
It has been a little while. And we're on a boat. Woohoo! We're on a wedding boat, just headed down the East River.
We're on the Bullpen Betty barge. Actually, no, we're celebrating our friend Olivia and Kelly. They're getting married. So we are cruising around. Actually, they got married. The ceremony just happened a little while ago. But we are cruising around New York Harbor.
Yep. And there's nothing more New York and American than the Statue of Liberty in the background, is there?
Nice. What a beautiful sight, huh?
And ironically, Olivia is French, so she basically gave us this gift.
Well, like Steve Foss said, the French gave us the Statue of Liberty. We gave the French Kelly.
That's funny. So, yes, it's been a while since we've been together.
Yeah, I've been celebrating a birthday last week, and you were on tour.
It was your birthday week?
It was my birthday. Yeah, I celebrate birth weeks. I'm that cool. But you were on tour. Tell the people where you've been.
I was. I went on tour. I've been going and seeing America. I went to the Midwest, and I was on a couple of podcasts when I was on tour. So my first stop was in the Midwest. I was in Chicago, and I talked to the Wood with Handles guys, which was really great.
I still don't know what that means.
I don't know either. I guess I should have asked them, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we had been talking for a while, and I decided they needed some estrogen on their show. You know, they're two dudes out there in the Midwest, and they needed me.
Someone to hang drapes on the windows and stuff?
Oh, shut up. And then I headed out to Oregon.
Nice.
Where I was on the 9-inning know-it-all show. And that was live, which I didn't really know initially. And if you listen to it, you can see me sort of like taking my time. And then it's kind of dawned on me that I was live. So if those guys are listening to me now, I'm finally admitting why I was a little slow to on the go. But we had a good time, too. And I think they're sending me a T-shirt.
Oh, cool.
Speaking of which, yeah, I was going to say, hats and or T-shirts. Yeah.
We'll work on that.
Yeah. We have some connections.
If things go right, I'll have to have a little World Series patch on this side. But yeah, 2 weeks and quite a roller coaster.
Yes, it's been a roller coaster ride, and we haven't been around for 2 weeks.
Let's tell them how we got in this situation.
Right. So let's not bore everybody with every game, but we can give you some highlights.
Or lowlights.
Unfortunately, there's a few more of those.
Let's start with the highlight.
The highlight was when we swept the unstoppable Chicago White Sox. Woohoo! So, you know, we managed to do that, and
people are looking bright after that. I'm like, we are in it, yes!
Right. The future's so bright, I had to wear shades.
Unfortunately, then we ran into the other Sox.
Yes, the red, the Sox Rojas.
Medias Rojas.
However, somehow, by some miracle of baseball, we won the last of that series.
We won 1 out of 4.
Right.
So all the momentum we had gained under the White Sox, we kind of pretty much threw out the window.
Yes.
And that was here at home.
It was. And Rivera got the win on that last game.
Somebody had to get the win. It might as well be him.
Right. You know, and actually, just CC did win one of those games against the White Sox.
By accident, I'm sure.
Then we headed into week two, and we were playing the Orioles.
And we did. That was another, like I said, a roller coaster. This was the upswing.
Yep.
We took 3 of 4, I believe.
Yes. In Baltimore. We lost the first one, and then we won the next three. And Rivera got another win.
Very strangely, because he actually really wasn't the winning pitcher, but he got the win because Robinson was so bad. Apparently there's a rule that says if Robinson was a pitcher, he came in the eighth inning, we had a 5-2 lead, I believe. The Yankees were winning. He gave up 3 runs, which tied the game. And then the Yankees came up, and I guess that was home? No, that was in Camden Yards. The Yankees came up the next inning, took the lead, while Robertson was the pitcher of record, so he should have got the win. You know, Mo came in and finished out the game.
Right.
But because there's a rule that says because Robertson was so bad, he was bad enough to not get the win, even though he was a pitcher record, that they gave it to Mo instead.
Well, what do you think of that rule?
Apparently it's been done like 3 times in the last 90 years or something.
Wow. I think it sounds like a good rule to me, unless it gets abused, which it doesn't sound like it does.
Robertson really did not deserve to get a win. You give up 3 runs, you really shouldn't get
it. You did nothing but almost lose the game.
Exactly.
And so great, we win, and then there was sort of a little foreshadowing of going down because Gardner hurt himself.
Yeah, another one, right? Yeah.
In that game, and it's like I said the Yankees are the Kennedys of baseball. It's just like, are you joking me?
So, this our Chappaquiddick moment?
Yeah. I mean, Gardner's like one of the top 3 players right now. He's been kicking ass, and
he got a strained oblique.
Oh my god!
Right, left oblique, something like that.
But this was also the game where Soriano basically won the game. He should have been the winning pitcher of record. He grabbed the ball. It should have been a home run.
Incredible catch he made.
Oh, this guy. Oh my god. And so, speaking of that, let's head
into... It seems to me that I'm smelling a change of allegiance in Bullpen Betty's pitter-patter of a heart.
Right, well, this is what I gotta say. If Granderson leaves the Yankees, which what you and all of my other so-called friends keep tormenting me with, if he leaves because the Yankees, quote, make him leave, that's one thing. If he leaves, if I can detect that he leaves because he wants to leave New York, I might have to, you know, I might have to play a little bit hard to get. And Soriano.
And not so hard to get for Soriano.
Right. Well, now, but I don't know. I mean, you know, Soriano is an amazing player, but he just doesn't kind of have the same, you know, je ne sais quoi. And he spits so many sunflower seeds.
He does. He
it's
spits
crazy.
Doesn't he? Yeah.
You know, when Granderson just...
There'll be seeds all over your living room.
I won't go anywhere from that. However, while Granderson just blows beautiful pink bubbles with his bubble gum... like I said in the beginning, I was sad and I was going to power through it, and now you're reminding me that Granderson might not be on the Yankees next year. So, all right, I'm going to...
Still got a ways to go.
I'm going
to
gather myself
now. So our roller coaster went up with White Sox, down with the Red Sox, up with Baltimore, and then, of course, we got to face the Red Sox again. Right?
Which, it pretty much went as bad as it could have.
They just... What's a shellacking?
Well, and then who's out? Soriano hurts his thumb. And they announced it 10 minutes before the game started on Saturday. So he's out. And I was like, I mean, this is crazy.
Wasn't Saturday game where we were down by 4, tied up, and then they give up a grand slam?
No, that was Friday. Yeah, that ended up being 4-8.
Big loss.
Yeah, Salto LaMacchia hit the grand slam. Yeah. You know what? I didn't really watch the games very closely this weekend. I had other things to do. And so maybe it's my fault that they lost. But
you weren't ironing.
No, I was not ironing. But Kuroda lost, CC lost, and Nova lost. I mean, that game was 2-9. The Nova loss. I realize he didn't pitch the whole game, but we got killed, and Soriano was out. So that was terrible. But you know why I'm so revved up?
Why is that?
Because we're playing two really bad teams over the next week.
Well, speaking of that, I don't know if you noticed while they were doing, you know, we stopped, like I said, we cruised around New York Harbor, and then we stopped right by the Statue of Liberty while they did the whole ceremony, the vows and all that, which is kind of cool. They were stood in the front of the boat, the statue behind them, and if you, I don't know if you noticed, all these boats kept passing by us. The one boat in particular I noticed, I guess it was a ferry or something, and I caught the name of the boat. It was the Yogi Berra.
Wow. Did you get a shot of that?
I tried. I couldn't get a good shot, though.
Oh. You didn't have a high-speed camera.
No, my high-speed iPhone did not work. But Yogi Berra, of course, famous for saying, it ain't over till it's over.
Right.
And that made me think, you know what, let me look at these schedules, because let's see what they got left. But now that we're done with Boston, until we meet them in the playoffs, we've actually got the easiest schedule of all the teams who are competing for the wild card.
Okay, so we've been eliminated from being able to win the division
right.
at this
Mathematically,
point.
Mathematically, we're knocked out of that.
Math.
Yeah, like, that looks like we really, really had a chance at that anyway.
I know. I mean, let's be honest. I'm taking my emotion out of it. Boston is so good that it's crazy.
They are good.
And I just used some really, really difficult vocabulary words.
Is?
Is crazy, yeah. No, I mean, they're just, come on. I mean, we're not in that league, no pun intended. It's just, I mean, unless, not, you know, and I know in baseball, things can shift really fast, but over the last, whatever, 2 weeks, come on.
Well, a lot of it also depends on what happens with Jacoby Ellsbury, because he's out. Mm. He might be out for a little while, and that, I think, I mean, the lineup is awesome, and you know, they got Pedroia, and they got this and that, but Ellsbury is an important part of that team. You know, he's their center fielder, he's their leadoff hitter. His speed, power, he's a good player. He's a big loss, I think.
I don't
know if it's enough to really do a lot of damage.
Right. But a little bit. Well, they got, you know, Mr. Solglow back, Buchholz. I know, he's disgusting.
But, yeah, so anyway, of the wild card competing teams, right?
Right.
Which basically are Texas, Tampa Bay, the Yankees, Cleveland, Baltimore, and KC. Realistically, they're the only teams that are competing for wild card. The Yankees have the easiest schedule. We've got three against the Blue Jays. We got the Giants, who are horrible. The Blue Jays, who we own. We got the three against the Rays, which is good, so we can make up some, you know, head-to-head, we can make up games against them. It's the team we need to catch. And then we end the season with three games against the Astros, the worst team in all of baseball.
Right.
So that's pretty good for us.
Right, but we've got some problems.
We have nine of our last 12 games against last place teams.
Wow.
And the three tough games, Tampa Bay, at Yankee Stadium.
Okay, and Tampa's been a little bit not as strong as they had been.
Now, Texas is playing at... Texas has it not too bad. They get four games against the Rays, right? Which is actually really going to help us. Then they get the Royals, the Astros, and the Angels.
So that's not too difficult schedule. Well,
the Royals are playing hot right now.
Yeah, you know? I guess they are.
Right? And the Angels, you never know. They're a decent team, and they go against them in Texas. They go against their rivals, right? They're like us playing Boston. Tampa Bay gets the Rangers, the Orioles, the Yankees, and the Blue Jays.
Right.
Cleveland's not too, you know, Cleveland plays the Royals. But you can see Kansas City winning 2 or 3, right? Maybe? I don't know.
Perhaps.
Astros, White Sox, and Twins. Yeah, Cleveland's got it easy.
Okay.
You know, Baltimore, I'm not too worried about them. They get the Red Sox, they get the Rays, they get the Blue Jays, and they get the Red Sox again. They get six games left against the Red Sox.
Wow.
And Kansas City, Indians, Rangers, Mariners, White Sox. So anyway, but this basically means that by Friday morning, it all could be different, right? Because, like I said, Texas is playing Tampa Bay four games right now.
Right.
And we get three games against Toronto.
Right.
So, say, let's just assume we sweep, best case scenario, we sweep Toronto, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say, so with Texas and Tampa playing each other, you know, at least one of those teams is going to lose two.
Right.
You know, if not, either they'll both lose two, or one will lose three, or one will lose four, right?
Right, mathematically they have to.
Mathematically, at least one of those teams is going to lose at least two.
Right.
And we're three games behind both of them. So say if they split, they each win two games, the Yankees sweep the Blue Jays, come Friday morning, we'll be a half game out of the wild card. And we can start this whole worrying thing.
And I'll be at the game against the Giants on Sunday if it doesn't get rained out.
So we could be a half game out of wild card with three games against the Giants over the weekend.
Wow.
You know, so it's doable. It's amazingly enough, it's still doable for us.
But we don't have Gardner.
Don't have Gardner.
Soriano is back in.
We lost Jeter, right?
Yeah, Jeter's out. Where is A-Rod in terms of getting on the field?
I don't know. They took him out of a game, right? He'd get kind of sore.
He's been DHing.
Which is horrible because that means they put Nunez in the field.
Right.
And a hard ground ball to Nunez, it's like watching a little leaguer. He steps back, tries to duck out of the way. I mean, you're third base, you're supposed to let that thing bounce off your chest.
Right. That,
you know, you bounce off your chest, you pick it up, and you throw him out. That's standard for how you play third base. He's trying to duck out of the way and get him from...
Yeah, he's good, you know, offensively, but defensively, man.
So I think if what's going to happen is we're going to see less of him at third. What they'll probably do is have Lyle Overbay, instead of Overbay and...
Reynolds?
Instead of them platooning left, right, depending on who's pitching,
right,
they're both going to play everything. With Reynolds at third and Overbay at first. You know, they're decent. You know, at least they're decent in the field. Reynolds is decent in the field. I don't mind him at all. He's a better fielder, I think, than Nunez.
Right. Well, I don't know what A-Rod stands, but you have an interesting story about A-Rod that you were telling me.
A-Rod, how awesome is this? And awesome because I hate Bud Selig. Who was it who did? Somebody did, I think it's ESPN. They did a survey. And they asked people, who do you consider today the face of Major League Baseball?
Bullpen Betty.
Okay.
It was? Okay, yes, I won.
You got
Yay!
My... The player with the most votes was Alex Rodriguez. He's considered the face of modern day baseball, which you know is definitely killing Bud Selig.
Right, in terms of just negotiation and ego and...
The last person he wants people to think of when they think of baseball is A-Rod.
Well, okay, so I'm going to look at it through the PR lens, Gigo.
Okay.
So when they say, who is the face of baseball, it's everybody hears this guy's name all the time, so people who don't even know baseball are going to be like, A-Rod, because they don't know anybody else.
That's valid.
Right, but I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But that is the power of PR. So the whole there is no bad PR, there you go.
But the argument against that is this: I think it was ESPN who did the survey. Now, if you're an ESPN listener, ESPN watcher, ESPN reader, you're a sports fan, so you wouldn't...
All right.
Right?
So they didn't just go out on the street and ask my, you know, grandma or whatever. You think it was probably
pretty sure it was ESPN who asked him. Who knows? Maybe it was Time Magazine for all.
So, but you're thinking it might be people who know something about sports.
Fans, right.
So, still though, his name is just out there all the time, all the time, all the time. So they didn't say, though, who do you consider to be, you know, the best representative, the most positive force in baseball, because he would not have won that.
No, but they did that. That was just a question. Who do you consider to be baseball? They didn't give him any options, they didn't give him a list of names to pick from. They just said, here, give us a name. They did it again. They asked the question again. This time, they gave him the list of 29 active players. Not including A-Rod. So if you take him out, Derek Jeter was number one.
Right, well...
38% of the vote. He had, by himself, almost as many as second and third place put together.
Mm-hmm.
I think Miguel Cabrera had 25%. And... Big Poppy had 17%.
Right. So these are the guys... I mean, okay, so the funny thing there, of course, is that Derek Jeter hasn't even played this year.
But you play like 10 games all year. Yeah.
Right, and A-Rod, you know... So it's the power of PR and money behind the Yankees.
It's two old-time vets who were, you know... No mention of Steve Trout, who's a new hero, right? Or
Chris Davis.
You know? Chris Davis, all the young bucks, right?
No, you got to get established, and you have to play for the New York Yankees. Sorry, guys.
But you know, it's like Selig must be seeing A-Rod in his, you know, in his dream. I guess dream, in his nightmares.
Selig is seething.
Selig is seething.
Bud seething. Oh my God. Well, I know, but that's what it is. And so, yeah, then maybe there is no such thing as bad PR in this case, right?
Right.
So, well, you had another
A-Rod note.
Yes.
I think they set a date that his arbitration hearing will start
September
30th.
Unless we go to the playoffs.
Well, it's just going to start September 30th. I guess he can still play while.
Right. I think if we go to the playoffs, it's not going to start. I think I saw a caveat.
Well, even if it starts, I would assume it's going to it's got to take, I would guess.
Months.
A while, you know. At least a week, you would think, for one side or the other to present their facts and for testimony, I would think. I don't know.
Wow. Either way, do we think he's not playing next year?
The whole year?
The whole year.
No, I don't think he's going to get the whole year off.
You don't. You think they're going to negotiate less than the whole year?
I'm guessing because technically it's a first time offense. Right, first time offense supposed to be 50. He'll get more than 50. I think he'll even probably get more than Braun. Braun got what, 65 games? I could see A-Rod getting 100 games.
He has more Braun than brains. 100. So, right, you think they're gonna negotiate it down from where they came in at?
Well, not even negotiation. I think that the arbitrator is gonna say 211 games is you're out of your mind.
Right.
It's just that's
211 games is you're out of your mind. That's funny.
It's like a witch hunt. It's something personal. Seelig is saying I'm out to get you. It's like
right.
Even
everybody else gets 50 and you get four times more than that.
Four times. It's a first offense and you get more than four times what it says you get for a first offense. It's obviously something personal there.
But this time it's personal.
Right. Speaking of Braun, you heard what he's been doing?
What?
He's been, you know, he came.
Oh, yes, I do know. He's been calling season ticket holders to apologize.
Apologize in person, yes. How funny is that?
That would be great.
Say if you were a season ticket holder and Ryan Braun called you up, what would you? Would you listen to him? Would you
hang up with him? Of course you would.
I'd save his number on my caller ID for sure instead of pranking him.
You don't think he's got like a bat phone for this phone. Where you can't call it back?
Virgin Go phone.
Right, exactly. Pay as you go. So, you know what I had to bring up is, you know my friend that we talked about last week, the Grammy Award winning hip-hop engineer?
Yes.
Doug Wilson.
Doug, yeah.
He actually did not win two Grammys. He won one. For Puff Daddy, but he did work on Biggie's album.
Yeah, I did look him up. I saw his name.
Right. Yeah. Yes, but there wasn't. He may have been nominated, but there was no winning or there was no Grammy. But he also worked on. He's worked for Jay-Z.
Okay.
And
so he's basically a hip hop guy, or
well, he was mainly, but he's done a lot of other stuff too. He also worked on the Notorious. Soundtrack for his greatest hits for Biggie.
Okay.
Oh, you should see it. It's on TV all the time. It's actually better than you think.
Really? I
heard it is.
We interviewed, as you know, I'm in radio, and we interviewed, I forget the actor's name who played him.
Who played? Yeah, he was good. I, you know, I was like, oh, this is so dumb when it came out. I'm like, oh, okay, Puff Daddy putting out a movie. And then I've seen it on TV, and whenever it's on, I always stop and watch it. It's actually really good. Yep, and it's, you know. It was just... Oh, you put something up on Facebook.
A couple of days ago was the 19th anniversary of the release of Ready to Die.
Can't believe it.
19 years.
Wow. I mean, I'm not even 19 years old. How did that... I remember, too.
You heard it through the womb.
Yes, because my mom is such a huge, notorious B.I.G. fan.
Mama Betty.
My mom has become a big LL Cool J fan.
Really?
Because of, what is it, CSI? Is he on?
Right.
And when I informed her that he's been, like, a huge celebrity since the early 80s, she was like, what? Like, she thought he was just, like, come out, like, the last couple of years. She didn't know he's been, like, the man for 35 years or whatever it's been.
My father used to drive, not a cab, but a car service in Queens.
Right.
So I used to listen to the radio all the time while he was driving around. His favorite song at the time? Craig Mack, Flavor in Your Ear.
Oh, your father.
My father.
Really? That's a good song.
That was hilarious.
I have that on my iPod. That's so funny.
I love that. That's funny.
Did he like other hip hop or just that?
But that was one he liked a lot. He always used to mention that one. I like that song.
Well, that's a pretty good track.
He's also a Betty fan, by the way.
He's a Bullpen Betty fan.
Yeah, he listens to us in the Dominican Republic.
Should we do this in Spanish? I can... Hola, el Padre de Gigo. So retarded. So, speaking of speaking Spanish, what is Robinson Cano's prediction?
Oh, yes, I love this. They asked him if the Yankees are going to make it. He said yes. He fully believes because of Mo and because of a higher power. And they're like, what? He goes, we're going to make the playoffs because he believes that God has a plan for Mo.
Jesus has a plan.
Well, I think Jesus is dead. Who he's talking about.
El Padre de Jesus.
El Padre de Jesus, right.
So, God is going to ensure that... Does he think the Yankees are going to win the World Series because God is...
He didn't go that far. He said we're going to make the playoffs. I guess God's a Yankee fan.
I mean, God doesn't have that much power over baseball. He could maybe get us in the wild card, but win the World Series? That's a little crazy.
He doesn't want to play favorites when he gets to that.
Well, you know, I don't believe in God, but I believe in baseball God.
The baseball gods have been very fickle this year.
They have been. I think they've just been testing, striking the Yankees down physically with baseballs and injuries that only happen to, like, the people who do the I've fallen and I can't get up commercial.
We see A-Rod go around the bases and a little rascal.
He's got an elevator on his stairs at his house.
He couldn't be any slower than he is now.
Frankenrod going around the bases.
He couldn't score from first the other day on a double. He barely made it to third base on a double from first.
Well, and Robinson Cano in much faster.
Yeah, but come on, if you're on first base and the guy hits a double, that should be a base clearing double. Bases are loaded, Cano hits a double. A-Rod barely made it to third.
Right, I agree with you. What I'm saying, Cano can't run for shoots either.
That's because Cano doesn't try to run.
Because he's too cool?
He's not what you call a hustler.
No, Cano sort of has a big caboose.
But not even that. I mean, down. Like sometimes, like, I mean, he makes everything look so easy.
Right.
And that's what it is, because it really comes easy to him, especially in the field. It looks like he's not really trying.
Right.
But his base running.
No.
Like running, not even base running so much. If once he's on base, he's right. It's running, getting out of
the box.
Batter's box. It's like, come on, dude. Run to first with all your might.
Right. He doesn't do.
At the very least, that's the least you can do, is run with everything you've got. Like Joe DiMaggio famously said, he goes, when they asked him why he always goes full speed, he goes, because you never know. When there's a fan in the stadium and this is the first time they're seeing you, or the only time they're seeing you.
Wow.
So you owe it to them to give full effort.
That's deep.
No?
That's philosophical almost.
It's Joe Deep, right?
Wow.
Because you never know when it's somebody's first time or only time they're ever going to get a chance to see you, and you owe them your top effort.
Wow. So. We should all be so devoted to each day. Because maybe this will be the only time somebody, some young buck listens to Bullpen Betty. Did I give my bet? Did I hustle in this show?
Did you hustle in the show? Exactly.
I think I hustled. I'm hustling. I'm a hustler. If you saw the photo that I posted today, I think my mom thinks I'm basically a hustler.
We're getting a racer. What are you gonna be wearing if we make it to the playoffs?
I've got the big photo that I'm holding on to. Got the big photo, and I'm not sure if it's gonna be if we make the playoffs or if we don't make the playoffs. I don't know.
Just like major leagues, but they keep taking a piece of
yes
of the owner.
Right. That's it. There's a few movies and things in my life that I like run my life by. Meatballs from the 70s, that's a big one.
Like a boom, like a. No, that was Stripes.
That's Stripes, no. Oh, yeah, well, Bill Murray. But yeah, Meatballs was a big one that sort of like The Jerk is another one. Like, I just, you know. Then if you move into the 80s, Major League is really like, you know, got it's really, there's a lot in there for me. Yeah, so.
You gotta get out more.
I get out all the time. I gotta stay in more.
Speaking of Major League, let's talk real quickly about someone who most decidedly did not act Major League, actually quite Bush League.
And that would be, of course, Bobby Valentin.
So this idiot on September 11th, right, on 9/11, he did an interview on ESPN radio, I think. It's a day we should be remembering, whatever. And he took that opportunity to blast the Yankees. To make you say it, from 9/12 to 9/22, the Yankees were nowhere in sight. They weren't on Ground Zero. They weren't at the funerals. They weren't this. They were that. And it's strictly the Mets were the only ones there, and the Yankees got all the credit, and my players were complaining, how come we're exhausted, how come we're doing all this, and they're not doing anything. You know,
This was on 9/11 this year. This was what he was talking about.
That's what he was talking about.
All right. So
not the Yankees get any credit at all.
Okay.
Randy Levine, president of the Yankees, you know, he replied, he's like, well, if you look at the record, we were at Ground Zero, we were at the Armory, the Yankees visited St. Vincent's, you know, I mean, you did, the teams did what they did. Who's, you know, why does anyone need to take credit of anything? I think part of it also is that the Yankees were on the road, right? Their first week or so of games after 9/11 were on the road.
So the Yankees weren't even here on 9/11.
They were in New York at the time. They weren't even here, right? So, but even if they were, I mean, really?
Right.
This is what you're going to talk about on 9/11, on the anniversary? You're going to talk about, well, the Yankees weren't here, and, the, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people would agree with that, even before he was as classless as to have that discussion. And perhaps that this is one area that the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees can agree upon.
Valentine's a dick.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hopefully we won't see him for a while. And people won't see us for at least for another week, right?
Oh, well.
Oh, but they can't see us. How can they see us? How can they keep...
They can see all of me. Almost. On Facebook.com/BullpenBetty. On Twitter, Twitter.com/BullpenBetty. And they can listen to us and all of our past podcasts. This is number 9, correct?
Yes.
So we have 8 prior, that means, just in case you're bad at math. And you can listen to them at BullpenBetty.podomatic.com.
Or on iTunes.
Correct, sir.
So, since we're here on this boat celebrating a wedding, congratulations to Kelly and Olivia.
Congratulations.
I was going to try and get them to give us our walk-off song, but they're busy somewhere. I don't know. It's kind of hard to...
Are they making out?
I'm sure her mom probably hopes they're making a baby, but I don't know if that's...
On the boat with everybody watching?
They are French.
Vive la France.
But anyway, I think I've got something we can play. Olivia, I know Kelly for a little bit. He's a great guy and all. But Olivia I know for a long time. I know Olivia probably about 30 years now. We met when we were teenagers back in 81, 82 or so, hanging out in the Lower East Side of, you know, here in Manhattan. We were both part of this whole punk rock, hardcore scene, you know, running wild in the streets and going, you know, hardcore matinees, CBGB.
Before I was even born.
Before you were born, with our spiked and colored hair and all of that. And
yeah, I think you got to post one of your old pictures of you, or that video when you were in that movie.
Oh,
the NYU movie.
I'll do that. See, this is why you got to be on Facebook, you know, Bullpen.
Yeah, you got to see what Gigo looked like back in the early 80s.
Back in the day. But anyway, so yeah, back when I looked like that, that's when I first met Olivia. And who also, by the way, like I said, my birthday was last Sunday.
Right.
Hers too. We share a birthday.
The same birthday. Except you're older.
We have birth points. Yeah, I'm older. Thank you very much. But I think so. An appropriate song for us to walk off on today would be a song by Rockpile. Rockpile, it was a band late 70s, early 80s. Actually, the first band to release a song on Stiff Records. And Stiff Records, for those of you who don't know, was the punk rock label out of England. You know, it was like Elvis Costello and Ian Dewey and the Blackheads. All of that came off of Stiff Records. But Rockpile, Dave Edmunds and Nick Lowe, one of their singles was I Knew the Bride When She Used to Rock and Roll.
And she still sort of does rock and roll.
Still sort of does rock and roll. But congratulations to Olivia and Kelly.
Congratulations.
Okay. We wish you most happiness and joy. And I think it's time me and you go get ourselves a piece of cake and a glass of champagne.
I think so. All right. Thanks, Gigo.
Thanks, Ben.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you next week. Go Yankees. Well, I looked a picture in the cam that a mama wore.
7 years before. He had to change his style a little, but it was just fine. They stayed up all night, but they got it finished just in time. Now the armorer daddy, she's walking down the aisle. Then she catches my eye and she gives me a secret smile. Maybe it's too old-fashioned, but we once were a close friend. Oh, but the way that she looks today, she never could have been. Well, I can see her now in the tight blue jeans, pumping all her money in a record machine, spinning like a top. You should have seen her go. Oh, I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Now we're proud that he only want to give his little girl a bath. And so we put down a grand on a cozy little love's nest. You could have called the reception and qualified success. They had a flash hotel for 150 guests. But take a look at the bridegroom smiling, pleased as pie, shaking hands all round with a glassy look in his eye. He got a real good job and shirt and ties nice. But I remember a time when she would never even look at it twice. But I can see her now drinking with the boys, breaking their hearts like they were toys. She used to do the pony, she used to do the stroll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. Headphones on, jumping up and down to a favorite song. I still remember when she used to wanna make a lot of noise, hopping and bopping with the street corner boys. She used to love to party, she used to love to go. Oh, I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll. I knew the bride when she used to rock and roll.